right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Pei Aleph. We're going to start. So we are going to start from Pei Amud Bey. So we left off yesterday. Kol Ha'Ochel, the two dots. The two dots. So remember again, the Mishnah said it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So the Mishnah said that all different types of food combine to make the shear of koseves gasa, a large date on Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, Kol Ochel, Amar Papa. Rav Papa says, Ochel umtsa umilcha mitzarif. If a person ate a piece of meat, and on the piece of meat was salt, the salt goes ahead and combines with the shear of the meat to go ahead and make the koseves gasa. The afagav de lav achilahi. And even though, again, the consumption of salt by itself would not constitute a halachic act of eating, kevan da achli inchi mitzdarfin, since a person is eating this as part of his normative act of eating, it contributes to be part of the shear. Amar Reish Lakish, similarly Reish Lakish says the following, Tzir sha'al gabe yerek mitzdarif l'kikos seves b'yom kippurim. Literally, tzir is the vinegar. So if you have vinegar on top of a vegetable, so the vinegar on the vegetable combines with the vegetable to form the requisite shear of the koseves, of the date. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Ma'odotem, what would I have thought? Mashkehu. I might have thought that, again, tzir has the status of a drink. And therefore, again, I'm also one thing we saw in the Mishnah is that what? Is that achila and shtia are not starif. Remember, again, the acts of drinking and eating, as much as they are derived from the same source, remember, we already established that shtia bichlal achila, that the act of drinking is included in the act of consumption, the two different, a drink and a food item, do not combine to form a requisite shear. Therefore, again, I might have thought that the vinegar does not combine with the vegetable. Kamashmala, no. That why? Kol achshuri uchlo, uchlohu. Because any item, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, first white line in Rashi, Achshuri Uchla, Rashi says, Mashke haba lemate gesa ochel uchluhu. Because we see from here that any liquid that comes to prepare the food for consumption, or that comes to make the food more palatable, ultimately is considered like the food itself. Therefore, the vinegar combines with the vegetable to form the requisite shear. Amar Reish Lakish, so we'll say along these same lines, Reish Lakish says the following, you know, we're trying to figure out, well, actually, not along the same lines. Reish Lakish now introduces something new. Ha'ochel achila gasa b'yom kippurim. This is an interesting case. Someone eats achila gasa. I'll say, what's achila gasa? A gluttonous type of consumption. So type of consumption that one eats already after the stage that one is full. I will say, it doesn't mean that, you know, one took an extra piece of cake or something. Achila gasa really is like that one eats to the point that they're sick. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish, something very interesting. What happens if one eats achila gasa on Yom Kippur? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, achila gasa, sha'achal leile yom kippurim, ala sova. A person eats now, again, the case, it's interesting, according to Rashi, the case of where achila gasa comes up is a case of where one is eating on Yom Kippur night. Now, why does he set up the case like that? Because remember, on Erev Yom Kippur, he says, shahayos saveya misu'ud shehefsikma. I already had the Suda Samafsekes, and the Suda Samafsekes, therefore I'm full. So we'll say again, I ate my Suda Samafsekes on Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur night, I eat again, and it's Achila Gasa. It's gluttonous eating. So Reish Lakish says, if one eats Achila Gasa on Yom Kippur, you're putter. You're putter. You are putter for that act of consumption of eating Yom Kippur. My time. Why is that? Because Torah says, Asher lo su'u neksiv. Because the Bible says, here's what's interesting. So the pasuk that the Gemara quotes over here is, Kikola nefesh asher lo su'u nebe etz mayoze. Any nefesh, any soul that does not afflict itself in the midst of this day, v'nichrasame amha, will be cut off from its people. So Reish Lakish understands, the only type of eating that you are chayiv for in Yom Kippur is the type of eating that would remedy affliction, right? The type of eating that, let's say, would cause your hunger to abate. But any act of eating which is in and of itself afflictive, any act of eating which in and of itself is damaging, lemaisa, again, that doesn't mean if you have high cholesterol, you know, and you eat that hamburger and you're okay for that. But it means is that the achila gasa, any type of eating that by definition does not remedy affliction, but lemaisa goes in and actually adds or amplifies affliction, is not called eating. And therefore, again, prat lemasik. comes to exclude someone whose act of eating by definition is damaging. So we'll say therefore, if one were to eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, one would not be chayiv karis. Amrav Yirmiyah.
At some point he was enjoying it.
I'm sorry? No, not necessarily. A person could be totally full, that even the first act, even the first bite is achila gasa.
Right?
Remember again, why is he doing it? So that's a different Shiloh, why a person is eating.
Said
is assuming that achila gasa means you eat too much, which means at some point in time, your act of eating was enjoyable. No, that's why Rashi sets up the case the way he does. I ate my suda on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur. I'm full. I decided, you know what, instead of going to Kol Nidre, I'm going to eat some more. And that act of eating more, that's the achila gasa. So the entire act of eating on Yom Kippur was an achila gasa act of eating. Therefore, I'm potter. Suppose I write to I'll take all the questions later. Otherwise, I'm going to make you wake up at 5:45 for definitely for nothing. It's going to be an Amid. Yeah. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah." Along the same lines, "I'm Reish Lakish." Zar she'achol truma achila gasa. Well, so now that we introduce this case, the Gemara introduces a similar case. What happens if you have a non-kohen who ate truma achila gasa? So, also remember, a non-kohen, a zar, is not permitted to eat truma. If a zar eats truma, lemaisa, there could be there's a significant penalty for that. So, what happens ever if he ate the truma achila gasa? So what's talacha? Mishalim esai karen ve'inu mishalim esichom esh. Rabbi say, under normal circumstances, when you go ahead and non-kohen eats truma b'shogeg, so there are two penalties that he's chayv for. He has to pay karen, which is the principal amount, that you will pay the value of the truma, plus an additional chomesh, an additional penalty fifth. So now Rish Lakish says, if a non-kohen eats truma and he ate it achila gasa, he only pays the karen, but does not pay the chomesh, does not pay the additional fifth. Why? Because the pasuk says, V'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, if a man will eat sacrificial or sanctified foods by accident, v'yosef chamishiso alav, he will add an additional fifth in addition to the karen. So what does Rish Lakish see from here? Ki yochal, Torah says lashon achila, it has to be a normative act of eating. Prat lemazik, this comes to exclude what? This comes to exclude a case of damaging eating, which is a case of achila gasa. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Zar, top of Pei Aleph, both sides. Zar, shakoses seorim shal truma. If you have a non-kohen, koses. Now look at top Rashi, shakoses. Kol davar shu ochlo shalo kiderech achilaso, kari le koses. So both sides. Whatever Rashi is, kol davar shu ochlo, anytime you eat something, shalo kiderech achilaso, in the non-normative way, kari le koses. Is called, literally means chewing. So that's what kosis literally means. So someone eats sorum of chuna, I will say, obviously, people don't eat barley. People don't eat raw barley. So what happens if a non-kohen, a zar, goes ahead and eats seorim, eats barley of truma? What's the halacha? Mishalim esakeren, ve'inu mishalim esachomesh. Similarly, again, he pays the karen, the principal, but does not pay the additional fifth. Why? Because the pasuk again says, ki yochal. Because the pasuk says you're only chayiv for an act of consumption, prat lemazik. This comes to exclude an act of damaging or an act of damaging eating or non-normative eating. Amar of Shizi, Amar of Yochanan. Also another interesting case. Zar shebala. It's good that this one came before breakfast. Zar shebala shizifin. If you have a non-kohen who goes ahead and swallows plums, shizifin is a plum of truma, shel truma. Vihikion, and he threw them up. He regurgitated them. Va'achlan acher, and someone else came and ate those same plums. Because I will say the assumption over here is that remember, it doesn't matter if it could happen or not. It's an illustration. Also, the chap over here is remember the first guy swallowed them whole, which means technically speaking, when he regurgitates them, you just need to wipe it off, and mamash, it's good to go. Right, so now you have. So what happens? So the second guy is now eating the shizifin. So what happened? What's the halacha over here? So the halacha is Rishon Mishalim Esakeren V'chomesh. So the first individual who ate the plums of Truma, remember this is a case of a Zar, non-kohen. The first individual who ate it, he has to pay Keren and Chomesh. He has to pay the principal as well as the additional fifth. Why are those signed? The logic, look, if you look at Rashi, Rishon Mishalim Keren V'chomesh She'af Hi Derech Achilasan. Because the Maaser Rabosai, again, it is normal to swallow a plum. Again, these were smaller, these must have been smaller shizif and smaller plums. So the idea is that's a small enough, It would be normal for people just to swallow it. Therefore, the first guy has to pay the Karen, and he has to pay the Chumash. Shani, the second individual, Ein Mishalim Ela Dmei Eitzim Bilvad L'Rishon. The second individual literally only pays Dmei Eitzim. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shani Misham Dmei Eitzim. Shahari Kina'an HaRishon. I will say, when the first individual swallows the plums, he acquires them. He acquires them, right? Because obviously when you eat something, you own it. You take ownership over it. V'nischayiv b'tashlemehen. And therefore, again, the first individual is chayiv and Karen and Chomesh. V'hein einon ru'uyos od ela lahasaka. Now we'll say, general klal is that when a person regurgitates food, even if that food retains some of its original shape or form, halacha l'maisa, once a food item is ingested, it loses its status as food. Therefore, when the first guy regurgitates them, even though the plums are still whole, when the second guy takes them and he eats them himself, the maisa is considered as if it's dmei eitzim. Dmei eitzim means like he took wood from the first guy. So the second guy is chayiv because he took something from the first. So he'll be chayiv to pay the first for dmei eitzim, the value that these regurgitated plums could have been used as fuel for the fire. Okay. So the Mishnah went on and said that Achila and Shtiyah are not mitzdarif. Achila and Shtiyah don't combine to form the Shir Fechiyuv. Man Tanam. So who is the opinion who holds that Achila and Shtiyah are not mitzdarif? I will say again, who's the opinion who holds that Achila and Shtiyah are not mitzdarif? So Man Tanam. Amrav Chista. The truth is, this is a topic of machlokes. Rashi says over machlokes, hashnui b'makom acher, shnui b'mishnasenu, v'lo divrei hakoli el Rabbi Yoshuahi. That this machlokes, that there's a machlokes elsewhere, which we're going to discuss right now, which would have bearings on our discussion over here in Yuma as well. So Rav Chisda says, whose opinion is reflected in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yoshuahi, our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yoshua. What does Rabbi Yoshua say? This not. Klal om Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said the following principle. Kol shetum aso v'shi'uro shave mitzdarif. Mitzdarif. So we'll say, this is a very interesting idea over here, that when it comes to tumah, there are two aspects to tumah. There is the shear for tumah. So the shear for tumah means how much of an item do you require in order for something to become tummy, right? How much... Like for example, a mace, a corpse. A corpse is only metame b'kizayis, right? If you don't have a whole corpse, if you have a kizayis of flesh, that transmits corpse tumah. So that's a shear. And there's another piece of tumah, which is duration. So there's shear and duration. How long are you tummy for? If you come in contact with a corpse, you are tummy for 7 days. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Shetum also b'shi'uran. Kegon shnei chatzoi zesim. Mishtei Mason, O Mishtei Nevelos, O Shtei Chatzoi Adosha, Mishtei Shratzim, Shezman Tumasan Shave, Vishiuran Shave Letame Bishir Echad. So we'll say again, Rabbi Yeshua says, anytime you have two items, Shetum Aso, Tum Aso means the duration of the Tuma, Vishiuro and the Shir of the Tuma are the same, Mitzdarif. So we'll say, for example, again, just using Rashi's illustration, if I have a half a kizayis of flesh from corpse A and a half a kizayis of flesh from corpse B, those two half kizayisim will join together to form a kizayis of a mace that will be able to transmit corpse tuma. All right. However. Tum also velo shiuro. But if you have two items. If you have two items that share the same duration, but not the same shear, for example, look at Rashi. Tumaso velo shiuro. For example, kigon, sheretz unavela. For example, let's say I have a piece of sheretz and I have a piece of nevela. Shishneim tumas erev. Now, both of them are the same in that what? Both of them only transmit tumah for the day. It's only tummy for 1 day. So the tumah, the duration is the same. Aval in shiuran shave. But your shear is not the same. Why not? Because, for example, Rabosai, a nevela is a kizayis versus a sheretz is ka'adosha. Even a lentil's amount of a sheretz goes ahead and transmits tumah. So that's the case of shi'uram, so mitzayif, tumas ovelo shi'uro, or shi'uro velo tumaso. Or for example, Rabbi Osa, if you have two items that have the same shear but not the same duration. Rashi says, for example, corpse and nevela. The shear for both of them is a kizayis, but for nevela, you're only tummy for the day, what we call tumas era. But for a mace, you're tummy for 7 days. Lo tumaso velo shiuro. If you have two dissimilar items that are neither the same in their shear nor their duration, ein mitzdarvin. So we'll say Rabbi Yeshua is clearly of the opinion that in order for two items to combine to form a combined shear, they must what? They must share the same exact qualities. And therefore, again, we would assume that Rabbi Yeshua, actually I should say, Rav Chisda says that Rabbi Yeshua is the opinion reflected in our Mishnah, who says that what? Achila and Shtia do not combine. Do not combine. Rav Nachman says, Afilu Teimu Rabbanon. Rav Nachman says, and therefore I will say, the assumption over here, by the way, is that the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yeshua. And the Rabbanon say that no, even dissimilar forms of Tumah have the ability to combine. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Amar Afil Tamar Rabbanon, is could our Mishnah in Yuma could even reflect the view of the Rabbanon? How so? Ad kan lo kami Rabbanon hasam ela le'inyan tuma. The rabbis only said that different shiurim don't combine by tuma. Why? The Rabbanon said that different forms of tuma do combine. Why? The shame tuma chati. Because they will say apparently the Rabbanon feel that lemaisa there is a common denominator. Come down later with all forms of tumah, and that's what tumah. They're tumah. They're all called tumah. So they have different shiurim. They have different durations. That's okay. It's all called tumah. Aval hocha mishum yisuvei daitu. But remember, by Yom Kippur, these shiurim are for what purpose? Well, say these are the shiurim that we established as halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, as the shiurim that ultimately restore or take away some inui from the individual, literally settle one's mind. And therefore, again, v'hai lo miyas v'dayte. And therefore, again, you can't combine the shiurim because combining the shiurim will not accomplish the goal of ultimately taking the edge off the inui. V'chein amar Reish Lakish, similar Reish Lakish said, v'machlokes shenuya, that which is stated in our Mishnah actually relates to another machlokes, Rabbi Yoshua hi, and our Mishnah reflects if you Rabbi Yoshua disnan, klal amar Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yochanan Amra Afilu Tima Rabbana. So we'll say the Gemara just requoted what we just said before in shorthand. Amra Rabbi Yoshua says that only similar Tuma items combine. And Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Afilu Tima Rabbanan. No, our Mishnah could even reflect the view of the Rabbanan. How so? Ad Kandal Kami Rabbanan has some Ela Inyan Tuma. The rabbis only said that all forms of Tuma combine. Why? Aval Hacha Mishum Yisubei Daite. But over here by Yom Kippur, this is the different issue. Over here by Yom Kippur, the Shiurim are there in order to remove the Inui and settle one's mind. V'hai lo kamiyas v'dayte. And to combine Shuma, Vachila, and Shtia will not accomplish that desired result. So we'll say what comes out over here is the following. We have two machlokesim. We have a machlokes by Tumutin Rav Yishon Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the only forms of Tumah that combine are two like forms of Tumah. Like forms of Tumah is that they must share the same shear and the same duration. The Rabbanan say all forms of Tumah combine to form a shear. Rav Chisda suggested that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yeshua, because our Mishnah says Achila and Shtia don't combine, presumably because they are two different shurim, like Rabbi Yeshua. So which the Gemara answers, first of all, our Mishnah could even be in line with the view of the Rabbanan. Because even the Rabbanon who say that different forms or different shirim and durations of Tumah combine, that's because they share an underlying characteristic that they are all Tumah. In our case, however, this is all about Yisuvei Daito. These shirim are all about the necessary amount to remove Inui from the individual. And combining shiurim will not accomplish that objective. Therefore, even the Rabbanon who say by Tumah you can combine different dissimilar items would agree by Yom Kippur that you cannot combine the shiurim of Achila and Shtia. Says the Mishnah, Achol v'shasa behelam echad. If a person eats and drinks in one helam, I will say helam means one period of forgetfulness. So a person has a lapse of awareness and he eats and he drinks within that same lapse, Eino chayiv ela chatas achas. He is only chayiv one chatas. Because we'll say, look at Rashi, Eino chayiv ela chatas achas, dechad shmahu, da'achila ushtia michad kra nafki. Because we'll say again, as much as we said before that achila and shtia don't combine, achila and shtia are learned out from the same source. We saw this before. This is what we established a couple of days ago, that shtia bichlal achilahu. So therefore, again, if you committed an act of achila and shtiya in one lapse of awareness, you're only, this is b'shogig, obviously, you only chayev one chatos. However, achal va'asa malacha, what happens if in one lapse of awareness a person ate and also did malacha on Yom Kippur, chayev shtei chatos, a person is chayev for two different chatos offerings because you've done two different things. Look at Rashi, achal va'asa malacha, shrei shemos ninu, these are two different acts, dimitrei kroi nafki, they are learned out from two different psukim, therefore the commission of both of these acts within one hell and one lapse of awareness makes you chayev two chatos. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Ava acha ochlin she'inon ru'uyin la'achila." If a person eats food items that are not fit for consumption, v'shasa mashkin she'in ru'uyin l'shtiya, or for that matter, drinks things that are not fit for drinking, or v'shasa tzir or murias, or he drinks tzir. So we'll say tzir is brine, murias is fish kishkas, liquefied fish kishkas, liquefied fish innards. So if you drank that. Potter. These are not things that are normally consumed, and therefore you're potter. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Reish Lakish, mipnei malo ne'emra ashara v'inui. So Reish Lakish says, why is it that we don't have an explicitly stated prohibition not to eat on Yom Kippur? Right? Why doesn't the Torah state an explicitly stated lav v'inui by affliction? By affliction. So the Gemara says, Mishum de lo efshar, because there's no way to do it. Why? The Gemara says, Hechi nichtov, what should we write? Nichtov rachmana lo yochal. If the Pasuk would have just said, I will say again, remember in this context, the inui that they're referring to, inui is used in a couple of different ways in the Gemara. Inui is used in a general sense to refer to all of the afflictive type of actions in which we engage in Yom Kippur. But inui also sometimes specifically refers to achila. So in this context, inui is actually referring dafka to eating. So the Gemara is asking, why isn't there, you know, we know we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and that obviously is one of the major prohibitions of the day, yet the Torah doesn't explicitly state that. Remember, we had this sugya before. We learn out the fact, Torah just says inui, that you can't afflict, you have to afflict yourself. And we learn out that the Halakha Moshe Sinai tells us that one of the forms of affliction is fasting. So why doesn't the Torah just say, don't eat, don't eat? To which the Gemara says, "Sehechi nichtov." What should you write? Nichtov rachmana lo yochal. If the Torah would have said lo yochal, you can't do that. You know why? Because achila, because eyes. Also, it's very interesting because if it would have said lo yochal means what? Lo yochal would automatically mean kizayis. Nichtov rachmana lo suuna. If the Torah would have said, now this is a strange verbiage, don't afflict yourself. Kum echo mashma. That sounds like the Torah is telling you dafka to eat. Maskif Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea raised kasha. He says, well, nichtav rachmana hishamer pen lo su'une. Why don't you say the following? Let the pasuk say, hishamer, be careful, pen, lest you not afflict yourself. So the Gemara says, well, the problem with that is, imkein, nefishi lehu lavi. Rav Hoshea, the problem with that is, then what you've done is you've heaped on a whole bunch of prohibitions. Because Rav Hoshea, remember, as Rashi points out, hishamer and pen represent their own independent lavin, which means if you use that verbiage, you may end up violating three different lavim if a person goes ahead and accidentally eats on Yom Kippur. Maskif Rabbi Bar Abaye nichtov rachmana ki shamer b'mitzvas inui. So Rabbi Bar Abaye says, why does the Torah just say, be careful with the mitzvah of inui? Imkein, he shamer de lav, he shamer de aseh. I will say, here's the problem, because remember, be careful with the act of inui. The inui itself is a mitzvah, the way it's phrased is a mitzvah saseh, is a positive commandment. Adding on the hishamer there, Rash, as the Gemara just points out, when hishamer precedes a lav, it's a lav. When hishamer precedes an aseh, it's an aseh. So you haven't really created a lav, you've actually created a double aseh. Maskif l'Ravashi, nichtov al tasra mina inui. So Rash says, well, why don't you just say, do not veer from the inui, i.e. afflict yourself. To which the Gemara says, kashya. You're right, you know what? That verbiage would have actually have worked. Okay, v'tana ma'isle mehacham, and Rabbi say v'tana, our Tana brings a proof from here that there is a lav, there is a lav against eating. Where is the lav against eating? V'mehacham v'inisem es nafsho seichem v'chol melacha lo sas, you shall afflict your soul, and all melacha you shall not do. You shall not do. Rabbi say, watch this. Yochol. Now here's what's interesting. We're going to see this later on. But the Gemara learns out from this pasuk the idea that you have to add on to Yom Kippur, right? We, even though technically speaking Yom Kippur begins at nightfall, there is a biblical obligation to add on to Yom Kippur during the day as well. So that's why, we'll see, by the way, this becomes the proof that we do Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov. All concepts of Tosefes come from Yom Kippur. Now, we're going to show where that comes from later on, but the Gemara takes that as a given right now. So the Gemara says the following. Yochol yehe anush al Tosefes Malacha. I might have thought that Rav will say that if I go ahead and do Malacha, in the added on time of Yom Kippur, that there should be a chiyuv kasa. So let's say for argument's sake, I start Yom Kippur, Shkia is at 7 o'clock, so we start Yom Kippur at 6:45, for argument's sake. I might have thought that if I do malach at 6:45, between in the Tosefes period, that I'd be chayiv karis for that. Tamalomar, the chalanefesh asher ta'asa kol malacha, be'etzem hayom hazeh. Therefore, the pasuk says that any nefesh, any soul that does malacha, be'etzem means what? Literally in the essence of this day. Now, what does that mean? Alitzumo shel yom anush kares. You are only chayif kares for actions done on Yom Kippur itself. Ve'eino anush kares al tosefes malacha. But you are not chayif kares if you did anything on the add-on period. Yochol lo yehe anush al tosefes malacha. Ava yehe anush kares al tosefes inui. So maybe I would say I'm not chayif kares if I did malacha during the add-on period. But maybe if I ate during the add-on period, that's what it means by inui over here. If I ate during the add-on period, I would be chayiv tamalomar ki kol hanefesh asher lo su'una be'etzem hayom hazeh v'nichrisa alitzumo shel yom anush kares. It's only on the essence of the day in which I am chayiv kares, meaning even for consumption. Ve'eino anush kares al tosefes inui. Yochol, excuse me, al tosefes inui. Lo yochol lo yehe bichlal onesh. So I might have thought, okay, well, maybe I'm not chayiv kares for anything that I do on the add-on period. But what? It should at least be an isra d'orai. So it should be a lav. To which the Gemara says, Tamulomar, v'chol melacha lo sasu be'etzem hayom hazeh. The pasuk says, in all melacha, you shall not do be'etzem hayom hazeh in the midst of this day. Alitzumo shel yom hu musar. Therefore, the pasuk teaches me that the lav itself of iser of, let's say, malacha, only applies on the real day of Yom Kippur, but does not apply on the add-on part. So I might have thought that even though I'm not chayiv for tosefes malacha, even for a lav on the add-on period, but I should be chayiv for eating at least the lav on the add-on period. And I'll make a kavachomer. Uma malacha shenoheges b'shabbos asyomim tovim eino musar aleha. So when it comes to malacha that applies on Shabbos and Yom Tov, also remember again, malacha applies not just the Isra malacha, not just applies on Shabbos, and not just on Yom Kippur, but also applies Shabbos and Yom Tov. And yet what? And yet there is no lav for malacha during the add-on period of Yom Kippur. Therefore, all the more so inui. So fasting, which does not apply on Shabbos and Yom Tov, eino din shelo yehe musar alav. Well, the Morsa goes without saying that although technically speaking the prohibition applies for the add-on period of Yom Kippur, there should not be a lav d'oraisa if one violates it. Aval azhara shelo inui shel yom atzmo lo lamadnu. But here's the problem. So we'll say after we've gone through this whole exercise, remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a lav. We're trying to find a prohibition for eating on Yom Kippur. And this sounds strange to us. Because what the Gemara is struggling with over here is, all we know is the Torah tells us that I have to afflict myself. And the Torah actually tells me in a positive way that any soul that does not afflict itself on Yom Kippur will be subject to the laws of Kares. But the Gemara is saying, so that, just also what says, you understand something very important. In Halacha, I should say in Halacha, it is Halacha. The way the Torah is set up is that in order to give a punishment for something, every thing must have two pieces. There must be an Onesh and the Azhara. The Torah must state a lav, a prohibition, and must independently state a punishment. Without that, a certain act is not subject to any kind of. So that's to be an ashara, a lav, and an onesh. So the onesh we know, because the onesh tells us that any soul that does not afflict itself in Yom Kippur is subject to kares. What we're looking for is there some kind of lav? Is there some kind of just independent prohibition that prohibits eating. So the Gemara says, "Avalas harli inuisha itzumishon lo lamadnu minayim." So the problem is, we're still looking for that ashara, for that lav, to tell me that I can't eat on Yom Kippur, and we have no lamadnu, we haven't found it. Minayim, where is it? So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what." Now, both say, this is going to be very interesting, because what's going to come out from this Gemara over here is that there is a lav for eating on Yom Kippur, but it's not explicitly stated. Now, what does that mean? So stay tuned. Look at this. It's a second wide line. The Gemara says, "Lo yomar onish b'malacha." So the Torah doesn't have to tell me the punishment. The Torah doesn't have to state the punishment for doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Shabbos say, which it does. It does. The Torah states that if you do malacha on Yom Kippur, you're subject to kares. And the Torah says that if you don't engage in inui, you're subject to kares. So the Gemara says, you don't have to tell me kares in both of those situations. Lo yomar onish b'malacha. Let the Torah not state any kind of onish by malacha. Why? Dikaram inui. I could have learned that from inui. Uma inui she'en. I would have said the following. Uma inui she'en on noheg b'shabasos yomim tovim anush kares. When it comes to inui, which Rabbos said does not apply on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet the punishment for doing these things on Yom Kippur is kares melacha shenoheges b'Shabbos yomim tovim lo kol shekein. Then melacha Rabbos said, which is already prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course it's subject to kares. So Rabbos said, again, you hear the Kal v'Chomer, if eating, which is permitted on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is subject to kares on Yom Kippur. So certainly melacha, which is already prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, will certainly be prohibited on Yom Kippur. They both say, if that's the case, laman hamar, so why does the Torah have to go ahead and state a prohibition by melacha on Yom Kippur? To which the Gemara says, mufne, it must be that it's an extra prohibition. What does it do for me? So what mufne means, it's open. It's open for drasha purposes. What could I do with it? Lahakish v'ladim mimeno gzeres shava. I could use it now to make a gzeres shava. What's the gzeres shava? Ne'emar onesh b'inui, v'ne'emar onesh b'malacha. It says the word onesh by fasting, by inui, v'ne'emar onesh b'malacha. It says onesh by malacha. Ma malacha lo onesh ela imkein his here. Just like by malacha, Rabosai, the Torah only punishes. Why? Because there's an independently stated love. Af inui lo anash el imkein his here. So too by inui, it must be that the only reason why the Torah could punish us, why the Torah could punish for a violation, is because there is an independently stated love. Now I will say, this is very fascinating about it. So what's the love? So what is the love? We don't know. We don't know. The Torah is not telling us explicitly what the love is, but the Gzir Shava tells me that there must be a love, or built into the mechanism, there must be a lav based on the comparison ultimately to malacha. It's a wild type of limud. So we're learning out the fact that there must be a lav by inui from the fact that it's compared to malacha, even though we are not pointing to a specific pasuk as the lav. So the Gemara says ikel mifrach. But even if I buy into this, I can destroy the gzeira shava. Why? Mali inui shlohutem michlalo. Because we'll say, here's the difference. You see, when it comes to inui, there is no dispensation. There is nothing, actually differently, there is no act of eating that is permitted on Yom Kippur. Leaving aside a chol, I'm talking about like sakharas nefashos. There is no permitted act of eating on Yom Kippur versus malacha, where there is permitted malacha. What's permitted malacha? Sacrificial service, right? We're shechting animals, doing all kinds of stuff on Yom Kippur, which the Maase is called malacha, but yet it's permitted because it's permitted. So the Gemara just says, you can't necessarily compare achila to malacha. Ella, so that the Gemara says, let's try again. Ella, lo yomar onesh b'inui, the government malacha. The truth is, the Torah doesn't have to state a punishment of kares by eating on Yom Kippur, by affliction. Why? Because we can learn it from malacha. How do we learn it from malacha? Ma malacha shotra michlala anush kares. When it comes to malacha, which malacha is permitted under certain circumstances, i.e. by karbanos, anush kares, and yet again, it's still subject to the laws of kares. Inui shelo hutu michlalo, lo kol shekin. So eating, which of course is not permitted in any way, should certainly be subject to the laws of kares. I, if that's the case, then why does it have to state kares by inui? Lama ne'emar, why is it stated? Mufne, literally, it's open. Lahakish v'ladon mimeno gzir shava. I can make a gzir shava. What's the gzir shava? Ne'emar onesh b'inui v'ne'emar onesh b'malacha. It says onesh by inui, by fasting, and it says onesh by malacha. Ma malacha onesh v'hisir. Just like by malacha, again, Rabbosai, there's an onesh that's stated, and there also is a prohibition that's stated. Av Inui Onesh Vihis here. So too by Inui, there must obviously the Onesh is stated, but there must also be a lav associated with it. Ikalamifrach, but again I could destroy the Gzira Shava. Malimalacha Shekino Hagis Bishabasos Yom Tovim. Tomar be Inui Shainoi Bishabas Yom Tovim. But I could say again they're dissimilar. Why? Because Malacha is also applicable, also in effect on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Inui is not Ravina Hai Tana Etzem Etzem Gamar. In reality, this Tana learns Gzir Shava from Etzem Etzem. I will say Etzem Yomazeh, Etzem Yomazeh, by Inui and by Malacha. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Mufna, De'ilo, and that those words must be open for drasha purposes, De'ilo Mufna, because if they are not open, Ika Lemifrach Kidibar Chinon. You could ask all the same questions that we just asked above. To which the Gemara says, Loi, in truth, you're correct, Afnuye Mufna. Etzem Etzem is open. So we'll say what would come out from this is that there's Gzir Shavav Etzem Etzem. It says Etzem by Malacha. It says Etzem by Inui. Just like by Malacha, there is an Onesh and there is a Lav. So too by Inui, there is an Onesh and there must be a Lav as well. So the Gemara says, Chamisha Kreik Sivu by Malacha. There are five different psukim that are mentioned by Malacha. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Chamisha Kreik Sivu by Malacha. Arba'a Lavin. There are four prohibitions. The Karis Echad. So four times it says that Malach is Asur. One time it says that it's subject to the laws of Karis. So the Gemara says, now why do you need five different statements to prohibit Malacha on Yom Kippur? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Chad la Azhara. Chad la Azhara di Imama. The Chad la Azhara di Leila. One is to give me the prohibition for daytime Malacha. One is to give me the prohibition for nighttime Malacha. Chad la'onesh di imama, one is to give me the punishment for the day. The chad la'onesh di laila, because you also remember this model. This model is every single prohibition always requires two parts. You need a lav, which is just the state of prohibition, and you need an onesh. So I have one lav for the night, one lav for the day. Now, why you need a different lav for the night than the day, we'll discuss. And I have one pasuk that's an onesh for the night, one pasuk that's an onesh for the day. The chad la'afnuye. And this leaves me one open. Le'migmar inui mimelocha. And this extra one allows me to what? Learn out, allows me to, this one is extra, and this one is what allows me to compare Inui, allows me to compare fasting to Malacha, Bein Diyamama, Bein Delele, and to say that, again, fasting is just like Malacha, so I have an extra lav that's left over, and that extra lav will allow me to learn out that fasting Inui is the same as Malacha on Yom Kippur, and therefore subject to Karis both by day as well as by night. Tibei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they said the following: Ne'emar kan inui, ve'ne'emar lahalon inui. It says over here inui, and it says over there inui. So the Gemara says malahalon, so meaning over here and over there, also means it says by melacha inui, and it says by fasting inui. Malahalon lo anash elim kein hisir. Just like over there by melacha, the only way we could punish is because the Torah states alav. Afkan lo anash ele imkein his here. So to over here by Inui there must be a lav because otherwise Torah would not be able to punish. Rav Acher bar Yaakov Amar. Rav Acher bar Yaakov says the following: Yalif Shabbos Shabboson mi Shabbos Bereishis. Rav Acher bar Yaakov says, I'm going to tell you how. We're going to learn out Yom Kippur Shabbos Shabboson from Shabbos Bereishis. So what Shabbos Bereishis? Shabbos. That's what we call Stam Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Bereishis. We're going to learn out Yom Kippur from Shabbos Bereishis. What are you going to say? Malahalon lo anash. Ela imkein hisir. Just like by Shabbos Bereishis, we only punish because there's first a lav. Afkan lo anash ela imkein hisir. So too by achila on Yom Kippur, there must also be a lav somewhere embedded in the Torah for eating on Yom Kippur. That Rav Papa says, Hu gufei Shabbos ikri. Dichsev tishbisu Shabbatchem. So we'll say to which Rav Papa says, well, again, Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos because Torah says Tishbisu Shabbatchem. Literally, you shall rest on your Shabbos. Now, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, it's actually the second Rashi. He gufa Shabbos ikri, ubelav gezer shava nami nafka minei, ubei, decheivan de ikri Shabbos lingin inui havile ke Shabbos ona shvaz rach. So we'll say it's very interesting. So remember, Rav Acher bar Yaakov comes along and he wants to make a gezer shava. And it is because he wants to essentially make a gzera shava of Shabbos Shabbos. And Shabbos Shabbos does what? Just like Shabbos Bereishis, regular Shabbos, has two parts to it. It has psukim that tell me the onesh, and a pasuk that tells me the lav. So too by Yom Kippur, there must be a pasuk. There's a pasuk that tells me the onesh, and there must be embedded in the framework of the Torah a lav as well. Even if I can't put my finger on what the lav is, the lav must be there. Rav Papa comes along and says, "Why do you need gzeira shava? You don't need gzeira shava. Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Yom Kippur itself is a Shabbos. By definition, the Torah calls it Shabbos, and therefore Rashi says." Just like Shabbos has Onesh and Azhara, so too Yom Kippur has Onesh and Azhara. So most of these seem to be saying the same thing, except that whereas Rav Acha bar Yaakov is making Gzeira Shava, Rav Papa doesn't even need a Gzeira Shava. So Yomar says, Bishlama, Rav Papa lo amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. I understand that Rav Papa doesn't say that Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Why not? Dikra dichsev begufei adif. Because it was like Rav Papa will say, if you have a choice between learning out a pasuk in the subject itself versus making a gzera shava, I'd rather just go with the pasuk in the inyan itself. Forget about gzera shava. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. However, El Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and that's why he rejects gzera shava. El Rav Acha bar Yaakov. El Rav Acha bar Yaakov, my time lomak Rav Papa. So why doesn't Rav Acha bar Yaakov ever hold like Rav Papa? Because he needs that pasuk for a different reason. What's the different reason? The Chiddush Sanya both said this is a very interesting limud. Torah says, "Ve'inisem es nafsho seichem betisha lachodesh." Rabbi said the Torah says, "You shall afflict your soul on the ninth of the month." Now here's the problem. What's the problem? The problem is that lemaisa Yom Kippur is on the 10th. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Both say, take a quick look. I'm sorry, before we go on, just look at Rashi for just a moment. Just for one moment, this is Rav Papa. Mishabbos Shabbason lo gamar de'ikri Shabbos. Remember, Rav Papa learns out from the phrase of Tishbisu Shabbaschem. He doesn't learn it out from the Zereshava of Shabbos Shabbason. Why? The Itzrich Le Rabuye Kola Inyan Kidamar Reish Pirkin. Shabbason Shavos. Inami Shabbos Shabbason. He. Lav Yom. Actually, we don't have to read it. I'm just pointing out that Rav. We're going to see. I should have explained this a little bit better before. Rav Papa doesn't like using Shabbos Shabbason. The Gemara said, because Lemaisa, Rav Papa says, why do I have to use Gzer Shava when I can learn it out from the Pasuk of Yom Kippur itself? But it's actually going to be deeper than that. Rav Papa uses Shabbos Shabbason later on to learn out something independent. That's why he can't use this for the Gzeira Shava. I'm sorry. Now, in terms of Acha bar Yaakov, why doesn't he learn out like Rav Papa? So I'm sorry. Now back to the Gemara. So Torah says, "You shall afflict yourself on the ninth of the month." Yochel v'yaschel v'yisana b'tisha. So you might have thought that the fast should begin on the ninth of the month. Tamalomar ba'erev. But the Torah says ba'erev, you begin to fast in the evening. I ba'erev yochel mishatechsha. When the Torah says that the fast begins in the evening, you might have thought that that means only at nightfall. Tamalomar b'tisha. But the Torah says you have to begin to fast on the ninth. So which one is it? Ha-ketzad. So what do we do? Rabbi says, halacha l'maisa. Maschil u'mis'ane mi'ba'od yom. What do? We go ahead and we fast. We fast while it is still day. We begin to fast while it's still day. To which the Gemara says, mikan shemosifin michal ala kodesh. From here we see Rabbi Osai, that when it comes to Yom Kippur, we add on from the weekday onto the kodesh. We start Yom Kippur early. The only Ella Bichtavos, remember we're learning this out from the fact that the Torah says we're fasting on the ninth. Yet it says the fast begins on the 10th. How do you reconcile these two? Begin the fast on the ninth and go into the 10th. So Mikash Mosiv Mikhala Kodesh. Ainli Ella Bikinisasa. Now I only know this to be true at the onset of Yom Kippur, that I have to start Yom Kippur early. Be it si aso minayin. How do I know this that this is true? That I have to also allow Yom Kippur to end later as well. Talmud Lomar, Me Erev Ad Erev. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Me'erev ad Erev, literally from nightfall to nightfall. So we'll say, the way we're understanding that is Me'erev ad Erev means that the same way that I begin the Erev of Yom Kippur earlier, I begin Yom Kippur early, so too I delay the Erev departure of Yom Kippur as well. V'einli ela Yom Kippurim. Now, I only know this concept of Tosefes Kiddusha by Yom Kippur, that I have to start Yom Kippur early and end it later. So here I will say, if you look in the Mesoras Hashas, he changes this here. It does not Yom Tov, rather it's Shabbos. Shabbosos Minayin. How do I know that this applies to Shabbos as well? Talmud Lomar Tishbitu. Therefore, the Torah says Tishbitu. So we'll say, again, remember, this is now Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, this pasuk is Shabbos Shabbason Hulachem. Yom Kippur will be a Shabbos Eve. Inisim es nafsha seichem. You will afflict your souls. Betishla chodesh on the ninth of the month. May erev ad ha'erev tishpetu shabbatchem. So now the Gemara says like this. So remember, I have now, number one, I've learned out that it says betishla chodesh ba'erev. So what does that teach me? That I started early. How do I know that I ended early? Because the Torah says, may erev ad erev. Okay? Indeed. That the same way that I bring it in early, I have to take it out early or let it go. End it later. Excuse me. The same way that I bring it in early, I extend it on the front end, I extend it on the back end also. And how do I know that this applies to Shabbos as well? Because the Torah says, tishbitu. The Torah says that this concept will apply on your Shabbosos as well. Ainly Ella. Now again, in this side, the Mesoras Hashas changes this too. Ainly Ella Shabbosos of Yomim Tovim. I guess it should be Shabbosos Yomim Tovim Minayim. So Tishbetu teaches me that I have to extend Shabbos as well. What about Yom Tov? Talmud Lomar Shabbatchem. Therefore, Rabbi said the Torah adds the extra word of what of your Shabbosos. So now you understand what's just happening over here. This pasuk is chock full of incredible information. So number one, what do we learn out from this pasuk? Is that number one, Betishla Chodesh Ba'erev teaches us that what? We begin Yom Kippur early. How do I know that I end Yom Kippur late? Ba'erev may erev ad erev. So just like I extend Yom Kippur in its entry, I extend its departure as well and end it later. How do I know that this concept applies to Shabbos as well? Tosef Shabbos, Tishbitu. Tishbetu, because Torah adds an extra Tishbetu. How do I know that it also applies to Yom Tov? Shabbatchem. So these, we'll say each and every word of this pasuk teaches us these concepts. So ha-ketzad, what do we learn from here? Kol makom shene'emar shivos, or shivos, mosifin michal ala kodesh. We'll say, what do we learn from here? We learn from here that we'll say, wherever there is a verbiage of Shabbos associated with the day, there is a concept of Tosefes as it lies. I will say this is halacha l'maisa. Yom Kippur becomes the paradigm for Tosefes, and essentially Shabbos and Yom Tov are learned out from Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Wherever it says Shabbos, there is a din of bringing it in early and delaying its departure. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, Rav Acher by Yaakov can't hold like Rav Papa, because Rav Papa uses this phrase of Tishpitu Shabbatchem to teach me what? That there is a lav by Melacha. Rav Acher by Yaakov says, Rav Papa, I'm sorry, you're really selling this drasha short, because we use this drasha for a lot more stuff than just an Azhara by Melacha. So that's why, again, Rav Acher by Yaakov chooses to go with the Gzeira Shava. Okay. V'tana de etzem. Sa'ai, the Tana who holds Rav Osai, that you make your Gzeira Shava of etzem. And that's how we learn out the ashar, the prohibition for malacha by Yom Kippur. Look at Rashi. V'tana de etzem midi itzrich lemeute letosefas achomei onesh umeashar bemeila shemim demosifin v'hai v'inisim betishah my avdei. What does he do with this inisim? Hai betishah chodesh my avdei. So the Tana who learned that etzem, what does he do with this tishah chodesh? With this idea, the Torah says that the fast begins on the ninth of the month. Mi boyle lechidetani chia barav midifti. He requires it for the following drasha of chia barav. The Tani chia barav midifti v'inisim es nafsho seichem betishah. Torah says you shall afflict your soul on the ninth. Do we actually fast on the ninth? V'halo ba'asur mesanin, we fast on the tenth. So what is it teaching us? Elolomer lacha, kala ochel v'shose b'tishii, ma'la ala v'akosov kilis ana tishii v'asir v'asir. Very interesting. That's what, why does the Torah say that you fast on the ninth? Teach us that whoever eats on the ninth, kala ochel v'shose b'tishii, whoever eats on the ninth, it's as if what? It's as if he has fasted on the 9th and the 10th, meaning that there is a biblical obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur in the same way that there is a biblical obligation to fast on Yom Kippur. I will say, we'll see this is going to be a sugya later on. We'll see that some of the Tanam and Amorim were makbid, the dafka, like walk around with a sucking candy all day, to fulfill the biblical obligation of eating the entire day of the 9th. Okay. Achal ochle shenu l'achila. If a person eats foods that are not, that are, so we'll say, again, what comes out just from this entire discussion is that although we cannot put our finger on an explicitly stated prohibition by consumption of Yom Kippur, it's there. It's there. It's somehow embedded within the text of the Torah. Lemaisa, again, it's just the shayla, how we're learning it out. We have a series of Gezeirah Shavas, a series of, according to Rabbah, not even Gezeirah Shavah explicitly stated, so everybody's going to have their various approaches, but Lemaisa, what it comes down to is everybody agrees that somehow, there is a prohibition by Malacha on Yom Kippur, and that allows us to understand that ultimately, again, it satisfies the basic criteria that there is a lav as well as an onesh. Weiter. If a person eats food items that are not subject, that are not fit for consumption, Kas pilpuli biyom dikipuri. If a person goes ahead and eats, I will say pilpuli literally means peppers or pepper berries. These are things that would not normally be fit for raw consumption on Yom Kippur. So a person eats this on Yom Kippur, what happens? Potter, you're potter. I will say, why are you potter? The assumption over here is because lemaisa, this is not a normative act of eating. And because it's not a normative act of eating, Rashi says, it doesn't what? There's no yisuve daite. It would not remove any of the inui, therefore you're not chayiv. Kas zangvila v'yom kippur. Similarly, if you chew on, zangvila, I will say, is ginger. So if you eat raw ginger on Yom Kippur, you're also a potter. Mace face, you want to raise the kasha. Because again, the assumption is that these are non-normative acts of eating, and therefore the maaser, you're not chai for that. Mace face, hayra b'meir amir, used to say, mashra shana amar, when the pasuk says, va'aral tem arloso es prio, when the Torah says that you shall not eat the arlo, you shall not eat the fruit. And I will say, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is from Kisavo, and the Torah says, when you come to the land, unetatem kol eitz ma'achal, you will eat from every tree. Va'araltem arlaso es pirio shalosh shanim, and for 3 years the fruits must be arla. And I will say, the Torah could have just told me that the fruits will be arla. Torah doesn't need to tell me that the fruits are coming from the tree. Where else are the fruits coming from? To which the Gemara says, "Eini yodei she'itz ma'achal ella ma tamud lomar eitz ma'achal." Why does the Torah have to tell me about the tree? Eight, to which the Gemara says, eight shetam eitz upirio shava. Torah is coming to include a tree that has whose tree is the same taste as the fruit. And what is that? Hare omer ze palpalin. This comes to teach us this is actually the pepper plant. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara seems to be saying over here that pepper is considered to be something that grows on a tree and not necessarily a vegetable, the nature of the pepper plant. Now, we'll get into a greater discussion about this. Lambecha, shapalpulin chayavin barla, teaches us, number one, that the pepper is subject to arla. The ain eretz yisrael chasira klum, and also tells that eretz yisrael lacks for nothing. Shene emar, lo sechsar kol ba, that the eretz yisrael lacks, see, eretz yisrael even has the types of fruit where the trees taste like the fruit itself. Okay, so what's the point of this whole discussion? The point of it, Gemara is telling us, is that peppers are fit for consumption. Raw peppers seem to be fit for consumption. Therefore, raw peppercorns are fit for consumption because, again, they're considered to be edible subject to our law. To which Gemara says, Lokasha, habritivas habiveshta. It's not a contradiction. One is moist pepper berries, one is dry pepper berries. Moist pepper berries are, in fact, fit for consumption. If you were to eat it on Yom Kippur, it would be chayiv. When the Gemara said before that you're not chayiv for consumption of pepper berries on Yom Kippur, what is that talking about? Dried ones. Okay. Amalei Rav Yehuda Meimar, the Ha'amar of Nachman, Hai Himalta. And I will say, this Himalta. Now, what is Himalta? Rashi says, Shemifatfim b'samim kitushim b'dvash. Apparently, this Himalta is this mixture of herbs and honey. So this Himalta, the Asay Mibay Hindui, that comes from the Hindus, or the places of the Hindus, Sharia is permitted. I will say, when it says Sharia, it's very interesting. Rashi says over here, Sharia means a couple of things. Number one, Ve'in bo mishum bishulei nachrim. There's no bishalakum issue over here. Bishalakum means food cooked by a Gentile. One is not permitted to eat food cooked by a Gentile, even if that food is ingredient-wise kosher. You can't eat food cooked by a non-Jew. Shenachal kamoshuchai, why? Because this mixture can be consumed raw. Also, in general, anything that can be consumed raw is not subject to laws of bishalakum. V'lo mishum gi'ulei nachrim, deno se'tam lifgam. And also, we're not worried about the fact that it's prepared in utensils of a non-Jew, because any absorptions that would be emitted by the utensils would have a negative effect on this mixture. Umivarchinon ale brei pri adama. And you make a brei pri adama. Rabbi Yossi, apparently, one of the major ingredients in this hemalta is ginger, is zangvila. So what do you see from here? That raw ginger can be consumed. We just said before, it can't be consumed, which the Gemara says, lo kash, not a contradiction. Habritivasa habiyveshta. One is talking about moist ginger, one is talking about dried ginger. Again, when it's moist, when it's rotul, it's you could eat it. And therefore, again, if you were to eat moist ginger on Yom Kippur, then lemaisa, again, you would be chayiv. When do we say that you're pater? That's raw or dried out ginger. Ten rabbanon, so that's 2 line, then we'll stop. Ten rabbanon. Achal ale kanim pater. If you ate, Rabbi said, literally the leaves of reeds, you are pater. The assumption is because you're not fit for consumption. Lulave gifanim. However, again, if you ate shoots of grapevines, chayiv. Eluhein lulave gifanim, because apparently they're edible. What does it mean, lulave gifanim? Meaning, what types of shoots of grapevines? Amar Rav Yitzchak Migadla, kol shliv luvam rashana yom kippur. This is only talking about these shoots that bloom between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because then apparently they're fit for consumption. For Rav Kahana Amar Kol Shloshim, Rav Kahana says anything that blossoms within 30 days before Yom Kippur is still fit for consumption. Apparently, again, after 30 days, it becomes hard and inedible. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yitzchak Migadla. There's a bright side as far as Rav Yitzchak Migadla. Al Achal Alei Kanim Potter. If a person ate the leaves of reeds, he's potter. It's not fit for consumption. But if you ate shoots of grapevines, you are chayiv. What are the shoots of grapevines that are consumable? Anything that's blossomed between Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If it's blossomed between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so to speak, a fresh shoot of grapevines, that can be consumed. But anything older than that will be too hard for consumption. If it is consumed, one would be potter. So step over here. It's tomorrow.